What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at Fightful Select. This is the Backstage Report podcast for December 27th, bringing it to you a day earlier than I do sometimes. I try to get them out Sunday or Monday, but every week for the foreseeable future, I'm also going to be revealing a new feature that we're going to have, or an exclusive feature, rather, that we'll have once Fightful Select goes off of Patreon onto the site. Now, I don't have a firm date on that yet, but I'm going to keep bringing you guys stuff each time. Last week, I revealed that my live blog, my match ratings, all that stuff was going to be exclusive to Fightful Select once we move onto the site. This week, I can tell you, we're going to be bringing you forums to Fightful Select. It'll be a complete forum setup, full functionality, all that good stuff that you've come to know and love. Just across the internet, we've got a community section on Patreon, but it's nowhere near as in-depth as we would like it, and you will have that access on FightfulSelect.com when you're a subscriber as we move towards that. I'm very excited to be able to interact with you guys in a more organized manner on there as well. So it'll have forums for gaming, it'll have forums for, of course, wrestling stuff, non-wrestling stuff. Very excited to see how all that works out. But yeah, we got the match ratings exclusive to Fightful Select, and then we'll be bringing you forums. But let's get into the exclusive news. Of course, that's what most of you subscribe to Fightful Select for. Lots of exclusive news dropping this week from Fightful. Even on a normally quiet Christmas week, we still had quite a bit. If you're listening to this on Sunday, this might be the first time you actually even hear about this, but I spoke to several people within WWE to make sure, who made sure to stress to us that Charlotte Flair's returns was not in the cards or even considered when the build to Lana versus Nia Jax began months ago. Most within WWE had hoped and expected for a Charlotte Flair return in the fall or winter, but it wasn't really factored into this aspect of the story until after Survivor Series. There were also plenty members of the roster who were left in the dark about the return, even though it was a badly kept secret over the last few weeks. This, of course, it kind of goes against the popular belief that a lot of people thought that they only used the Lana thing to build up Charlotte. That does not appear to be the case, and I had people that went out of their way to contact me to say that. Like, I wouldn't have even known exactly who to ask that to besides Lana or Charlotte, but There were people that were like, listen, we didn't know, they didn't, I'm not sure that they knew, and it's just unfortunate for Lana, because from what I understand, she's not hurt seriously or anything. I can't sit here and say, oh, she's not injured at all. I'm sure she's got, like, nagging injuries and all that, but there's no backstage news of her being, like, severely injured or anything that would really leave her out. So that kind of led to a lot of people thinking, oh, well, this is the plan all along. Doesn't seem so. Well, we've got some more WWE news. Liv Morgan was the subject of the latest Brass Ring series. Earlier this year, I reached out to a bunch of wrestlers, asked them which of their contemporaries have been working hard to improve, which they thought should be in a better position. And one said that somebody that stood out was Liv Morgan. And then when I cross-referenced that, her name came up over and over and over again. Someone said that she is impressed or obsessed with improving and becoming one of the best, and she cares more than anybody. It's great to see that kind of passion, and not everyone has it. There was a female on the roster who would follow up and say that Liv was one of those people that everybody wants to work with, and you know she'll do whatever it takes to make the match, the angle, or the interview as good as possible. Even if she's not winning or coming out looking good, she always wants what she's a part of to be good because she knows how it reflects on her, win or lose. Another person close to the writing team told Fightful that at least three times over the past year to 18 months, there were significant plans or bold plans for Liv Morgan that ended up getting abandoned or halted, and we were told none of those circumstances were of her doing. We got more responses about Liv Morgan for this series than anyone, and it was not even close. So it's good to see that at least Liv Morgan has the support of the audience. I know that she has support of fans because I see that stan culture all over Twitter. I mean, I see tons of Liv Morgan stands all over the place. She's got a good following. They just have to book her and utilize her really just better than they've done at any given time, because they've never booked her well. They've never let this work that she's put in really give it a chance to pay off. SmackDown this week, a portion of the Jey Uso Daniel Bryan match was reshot. I revealed this on the post SmackDown show as well, but Bryan was instructed to sell the attack of Uso more, and the Thunderdome audience was put on a commercial for several minutes until that spot was reshot, and the edited version ended up airing on Friday. There was also a minor spot edited where Sasha Banks literally dropped her title belt on the ramp, and Bayley laughed about it. We also heard more names that were being discussed for Legends Night. So I need to clarify, this does not mean that they're coming in. It does not mean that they are they're set to appear, but they were discussed, and WWE was hopeful to bring them in. Those names were Teddy Long, Ron Simmons, also known as Farouk, and Molly Holly. I also heard Eva Marie's name thrown around there, but I don't know if that was just something that was thrown around as a part of the travel logistics or like plans or wanting to be put on the rundown or what that was. Her name was just mentioned to me, and I don't know in what context she would appear, as if part of the Legends or part of something else, because obviously there have been a lot of rumors about her. But Teddy Long, Farouk, and Molly Holly all mentioned, and no word as to what they would actually be doing. None. Well, something that happened on Impact recently, some of the camera trickery with Su Yung. We've seen it with Ethan Page. We've seen it with The Fiend on WWE. But a lot of people were asking us who played Su Yung. Well, Su Yung was played by Su Yung initially. They did the creative editing where they had Susie, which is Su Yung without the makeup, on the stage. She transformed and all that, and then they had Su Yung, quote-unquote, turn around. That was a stagehand that is often at Impact Wrestling tapings that portrayed that second Su Yung while she came out as Susie and did not have makeup on. A lot of people were asking us about that. I was very, very surprised to get that one so much. Some New Japan news. If you are expecting to see a lot of new Gaijin talent in New Japan, since they were able to get a few overseas, you probably shouldn't. They have even told high-profile free agents, at least as of this summer, that they didn't plan on bringing many new names over from the States. New Japan brought several over and put a lot of New Japan USA content in the can, and we've even heard that New Japan passed on one significant free agent in the summer of 2020, but let them know that the possibility would be there in the future for them to work together. So who knows if that's changed in the months since. I should specify that was told to me as of the summer and the fall. Maybe things are changing now. Maybe we're going to have a situation where they feel comfortable enough with the vaccines that people will be able to come in. But as of now, that does not seem to be the case. And speaking of New Japan USA, we had reported months ago that they taped a whole lot of their content in clusters, like through the end of the year. But they asked their talent to not reveal any more about that taping process. We reached out to another person involved, and they said, yeah, we don't quite know why New Japan is so pissed off about that. It's something that just is supposed to happen during the pandemic for safety reasons and just smart to do that. It's a money saver, any number of things. They had a lot of reasons for doing those tapings in blocks, and nobody that I talked to really understood why New Japan wanted to keep that so secretive. I mean, they did really well and had a really good show, had a really good set of tapings and a good vision for that series of shows. And of course, they've had a few now. But yeah, that was a bit unusual. Contract season. So usually that's around the turn of the year. We see a lot of contracts expire between the end of December and the beginning of January. That's because Ring of Honor's deals are usually up. We see New Japan's deals up sometimes after January 4th, sometimes the end of January, so they can do the Road 2 shows and put people over on their way out if need be. But I've been told to expect contract season to last much longer this go-around. More like contract half a year season. We're talking like the end of this year because of a lot of the deals that are up. Then, of course, the New Japan deals that are up right after that. There are a lot of Impact deals that are either being re-signed, coming due around the first couple of months of the year. Then, of course, the traditional WWE expiration time after WrestleMania. Although, many of those deals are just being renewed at any given time. They're not necessarily put through WrestleMania anymore. Some are, though. But then, I'm told some AEW deals might be up in the first half of 2021, rather. So that's going to be something worth keeping your eye on, because we might have a steady stream of contract expirations and releases and partings of ways and new signings that are coming pretty soon. That's going to make for a pretty exciting first 6 months of the year. We talked to Josh Woods about the ROH bubble, his WWE release, and a lot more. He said he wasn't really sure where his career was going to take him after he left WWE, but getting the eye of ROH at one of their paid tryouts ended up working out really well for him. We spoke a little bit about his time in NXT, and he said that he got to do some legit grappling with Chad Gable, Jason Jordan, Tucker Knight, who all had legit experience, which is pretty cool for me to hear as an amateur wrestling fan, a catch wrestling fan, to hear that these guys just practicing, getting better, and they're training, they're honest to God training with each other, learning stuff, seeing who's better. I think that's awesome. Wood spoke really positively of the ROH locker room changing of late. He said there were a lot of cliques and segregation of talent, which has been broken up a lot, and the office has been good about keeping in touch with talent about things. Any time that I speak with an ROH wrestler anymore, I've been asking them about that talent meeting that ROH had where they flew everybody in. And he said that it really felt like the office and the roster were on equal footing in that, and that they trusted the roster to give them good ideas and things to do. ROH tryout, got Josh Woods on the map there. Didn't quite do that for the Voros twins, but I spoke to him about it anyway. They said that it's hard to get a lot of opportunities like that because they're in Canada on the West Coast. But they said the WWE were really positive about their tryout and told them to focus on improving their social media, which they've done. I know the Ring of Honor one, I've spoken to people there that said that in the ring there were some hiccups, but they were great personalities and cut great promos and were awesome characters. But they've actually hit big on TikTok. They've got this DaVinci viral TikTok after Colt Cabana turned them onto the platform and said, yeah, you all would probably be good at this. And as it turns out, Colt Cabana was very, very right about that. They were very transparent in a lot of this stuff, and they said their approach is quantity over quality as opposed to the other way around. They've gotten into like serial reviews and stuff, and they credited Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville for doing Demandy's Donuts and put over Luther, really big to me personally, about being instrumental in their careers and helping them become accepted in their local area. And Luther went out of his way to message me and be like, hey, just so you know, that's not a bit. That's how they really are. So they're not trying to work you. They're not trying to get one over on you, anything like that. Admittedly, when I went and looked at their TikTok content, I was like, man, I don't know if this interview is right for me. I wasn't sure how I felt about it because it seemed like a character. Luther was like, it's not a character. They're like that. They do turn it up, but they're not a character. Because, I mean, quite frankly, if you're not like Matt Hardy, Silas Young, MJF, somebody who I can get something better out of as a character, I'm going to want you to be like pretty straightforward with maybe some leeway in there. But these guys were very great. They were very transparent about their approaches to social media and content creation and all that. And that's not something that I expected. I expected them to just goof off the whole time. And they goofed off plenty in this interview that's dropping Monday. But I really liked their insight about things. Like when they said that they chose quantity over quality, I was like, okay, that's not something a whole lot of people will be admitting to. Fightful injury report. It was announced on SmackDown that Seth Rollins will be returning from paternity leave on January 1st. It's great news. Glad to hear him back. We've had a lot of questions about Samoa Joe recently. He has been adamant that he has not done wrestling, just so you guys know. Cameron Grimes had surgery in mid-December. He is expected out 4 to 6 weeks, hoping that he'll be back even sooner than that. Get well soon, Cameron Grimes. Bobby Fish had tricep surgery after a War Games injury, and he is expected back in February. A big congratulations to Brandi Rhodes. She announced her pregnancy December 16th, so she will be out of in-ring action for quite a while. Trent said that he tore his pec partially in December of 2020 and is set to miss months. He had mentioned on Twitter, actually, when somebody asked how much he could bench, he mentioned that he had like a very similar injury. Mike Bennett fractured his ankle in December. He is planning on returning in 6 weeks. Unfortunately, Juice Robinson will not be returning soon enough. He was pulled from the Wrestle Kingdom shows as he broke his orbital bone. Man, that sucks. Here's to him getting better soon. We have a couple of big contract expirations. Zicky Dice's deal with NWA will be up in a matter of days. We will be speaking to him about this, as we will about Ethan Page. His deal is up on January 30th as well. Those are a couple of pretty big free agents to hit the market and be available right now. Jerry Lawler's deal is up January 10th, at least as of the last report. We've got Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yuji Nagata, Rocky Romero. They are at least signed through 2020, as is Ryu Lee, Kenny King, and Roosh over in Ring of Honor. Sami Callihan was signed through December 2020, and we don't know if he's re-signed. I've heard some word that he was going to re-sign or had, so we'll see about that. Taya Valkyrie's deal was a two-year deal signed in 2019, so that's indicative that she would be up soon as well, unless she has re-signed. Davey Boy Smith Jr. has left MLW. So lots of coming, lots of going in the wrestling world right now, as is tradition around this time of year. It is contract season, but hey, maybe we'll be this busy throughout the next 6 months, as mentioned earlier. Guys, thank you all so much for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. We've got so many different things going on between the Twitch and Fightful Scraps and just adding more and more and more to Fightful Select. I'm so happy to be here. So happy that all of you guys are willing to support us through all this stuff. Thank you all. I can't tell you how much that means to me. Until next time, we're out.